Brr. I just wanted to give you a short cold open. We're a podcast where two brothers discuss the unifying medium of music. We pick a random number off the 2021 Rolling Stone Best 500 song list, do an embarrassingly small amount of research, meet on Enter Video Call Service here, and start talking music. Welcome to Hey, everybody! You found, one more time. I just started it. We don't have to, like, officially start yet, but at least I got something to go. That wasn't a bad one.
Let's just launch. Let's go. Make the editing easy. Let's just go with it.
Well, it's been a tumultuous day. Or week.
Oh.
Wait, let me try that again. It's been a tumultuous day, week, or month. How have you been recently, Rob?
I'm okay. Sorry that you're having a tumultuous time. I mean, I haven't really had experienced much tumultuousness.
Do you have anything you'd like to share? I know the listeners are anxious people in general, but are also wanting to hear what we have to say. Otherwise, why would they be listening right now?
My daughter's birthday. I probably should have called her today. I did text her.
Wow.
My youngest daughter turned 28.
That's today. Correct. That's correct, yes. Today's episode. What number is this? Hang on.
The name is Doce. Number 12.
No. It's 14.
13.
14. 13 was Bonnie
Raitt. Really? Wow, man, we have put out a lot of content. You're welcome.
We are, you know, masterful content creators.
Yes.
And dare I say, we're content creators. We're content content creators. There you go. That's the winner.
I mean, how many people can say that?
It's me and Arcade Fire. They have a song about infinite content, and the lyrics are infinite content, infinitely content, something like that. It's a good song. That's on Everything Now, one of the more recent.
Not familiar with their body of work.
Arcade Fire. I wish we were talking about them. But today we're talking about, perhaps.
Are they the ones that covered Don Henley's Boy of the Summer? Was that Arcade Fire?
No. That was The Outfield. No, just kidding. I don't know who that was.
All
Boys,
right.
Boys of Summer?
Proceed. No. Well, maybe the Ataris.
Oh, our car.
I may have my A bands mixed up here.
We had a Bananarama and Bengals issue not too long ago, and now we've got Atari Arcade Fire. Alphabetically prepared.
Yeah, that was the Ataris. It was the Ataris, which is a great name for a band, by the way. I'm so sorry. Moving on.
Today's episode, we are covering song 1-9-9 from the 2021 Rolling Stone Best 500 Songs of All Time list. And that song is, of course, Dream On by Aerosmith. Clip.
Rock gods.
See who play?
Of Aerosmith. About time. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah. Here's that clip, by the way.
The past is gone.
To do, Rob. We've heard the song, or at least the clip of that song. What do you want to say right out of the gate? That's my only expression, I guess. I say the same thing every week. What do you want to say about Aerosmith right away? and or Dream On.
Dream On, iconic song, iconic rock ballad, was not a big hit originally, but as Aerosmith evolved and grew into arguably one of the most popular rock and, I guess you call it hard rock bands, the song became more and more popular, along with the fact I think they made it one of their tours. They played it like the last the concert, they would end the concert with that song, so made it more iconic that way too with all the touring they did. But it holds up. I mean, it's still a good song to this day, 51 years later. It's in and established Steven Tyler as the as a prominent vocalist, and lots of stuff to talk about, but a cool band. This will be a fun episode. Cool group, great song, and lots to talk about.
I think it will be an interesting episode as well. Here's the rundown within the rundown, the tip sheet, I think I once called it, so maybe occasionally I'll remember to say that each time occasionally. Good job, Steve. The song is Dream On, the artist, of course, Aerosmith. This is on from their self-titled debut. For those of you just who need 100% clarification, the name of the album was also Aerosmith. Written by one Steven Tyler, the lead singer of said band. The song itself was released in June of 73 as a single, and I'm not even going to even ask if you're wanting to know what happened with charts, because I have it right here. On the Billboard US list, this song peaked at only 59, interestingly. But as you were saying, the song's legacy really isn't necessarily chart-driven. It's about other consistencies. I do have a few more chart related pieces of information, Rob, if you don't mind. I think you'll find this quite interesting.
Yes.
So I know you're not looking at these numbers, and I am. So I'm going to tell you, let's just do a quick guessing game. Hang on. I don't know if I trust this list anymore. Okay. So I'm trying to read this now quickly. So in the, wait, why does that say that? Oh, weekly chart. Oh, of 73. Okay. Okay. Yeah. There's a whole story. Actually, before I get to any of that, I'm screwing this up. Did you happen to read the copy pasted thing you sent to me? About the release and the re-release.
That was from AI. By the way, I asked AI to tell me about Dream On and significance of it and the events that transpired during the formation of the band Aerosmith, and that's what it gave me.
Well, so I sent it to you. Why don't you just have AI be your fucking co-host, and I'll go to bed. This has been great. Have fun. You and AI can go and talk about this song together. That's wonderful. It's good that AI is replacing yet another form of art. Thank you. What do you got? Let's hear it. What did AI have to tell you? This should be fun. Let's read what the computer like collected, and then that'll just be the new podcast.
I forgot that this was a touchy subject with you as a teacher. I was just saying that's where I got that information.
It seems like that's something you couldn't possibly forget because it comes up regularly.
Well, I was just trying to have... I thought it was interesting, that's all.
Well, I didn't even read it, but what do you want to share from whatever artificial intelligence has to say about Steven Tyler and or Aerosmith's mega hit Dream On?
Nothing was really that stood out to much. I mean, it was about writing at a young age and all that kind of stuff, the song. I mean, there's a lot of information in there. So, no, I don't want to read that. Let's just move on. Is there something in there that you want me to cover? I'm sorry.
No. I'm looking at it. Yeah. It is pretty dull. I agree. Okay. Well, so there's this whole thing about the song was 4 minutes, almost 4.5 minutes on the album. In the 1973, 45 RPM little record single, it's a mere 325. So, like, quick math of a full minute plus is shaved off of the song for the single. And of course, we know that has happened a lot, right? There's like a radio version.
Radio cuts had to be like 3 minutes or whatever.
So, but there's like a kind of a complex explanation on Wikipedia, which I know is also a computer program, allegedly, submitted by a human hand. But whatever, I'm gonna move past that. The thing I haven't really quite memorized or like fully taken in. It reads this. The album version of Dream On at 4:28, as opposed to the 3:25:73 version, where most of the intro has been edited out and the first chorus is replaced with the second chorus, was reissued in 75, debuting at number 81. So the album version was released, and then it was basically cut by a quarter, by about 25%, and re-released in 76. Or whatever, late 75, early 76. And it says this, Columbia Records chose to service top 40 radio stations with both long and short versions of the song, thus many 76 pop radio listeners were exposed to the group's first top 10 effort through the 45 edit. Did you follow all that? There's a lot of numbers.
I did not.
Okay. Well, this is going splendidly so far. I do want to just, like, maybe I was going to tap your brain on song edits, and if you had any other just immediate memories of songs that, like, you remember the radio version well, and then, like, when you heard it on an album, how drastically different it was, if that even happened, or vice versa. Does anything ring a bell?
Well, the famous one that comes to mind is Piano Man by Billy Joel. He wrote a song called The Entertainer, and the song The Entertainer was about the fact that this record company would not release the Piano Man album version, that they had cut it down to 3 minutes and 5 seconds because that fit in the box, and it really pissed them off. It's happened over a lot. Now, I don't know, these days, I mean, radio doesn't really matter anymore, so I think it's over now, but it used to be a big deal, and I think a lot of artists had frustrations with that. That was a big problem for a long time.
Well, in a recent episode, we covered the Eagles' Hotel California, which essentially, of course breaks that 3-minute standard, and it was a few years later, but than this one, I guess. But here's the question: that song like does the fade out, like that was just a thing that. That was a very common occurrence, I guess. So, like, the songs would just fade out. And it almost seems weird because I always wondered on an album that has a song with a fade out, like, much longer do they actually keep playing? Like, when do they stop playing this?
They never stop, but they're still playing.
Right. So, but I guess...
I think fade outs are the worst. I hate... I hate fade-outs. I've never understood fade-outs.
Right, but
it's so weird to just turn the volume slowly down while the band finishes the song. They just end the song.
Yeah. I mean,
it's very bizarre.
Like, so we've both heard live versions of Hotel California, and it has a hard stop. Like, I can hear it in my head, like, how that song ends in live, like, how they did do it live, right? Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Right.
Or something. Dream On, I'm not even thinking about specifically Dream On, but now I'm just wondering, like, was the fade-out technique also related to the idea of, like, shaving songs down for radio release, or are the two unrelated, do you think?
I mean, I would just be guessing. I'm sure that's probably a factor, but I mean, I'm sure it's actually, you're probably exactly right. That's probably what started it, because what other reason would someone have for that?
And
God, let's just stop. I know we played all these notes and saying all these words, but let's just not have anybody hear the end of it. Let's just, you know, after 3 minutes, let's just slowly turn the volume down until you can't hear anymore. I'm sure that was a radio edit trick, but that's why. I mean, I can't think of a modern song that fades out. When's the last time you heard a new song fade out? I don't know.
Well,
I haven't really been paying attention.
You know what's kind of interesting to me is that songs that are faded out, there's none of the lyrics are faded out. It's just the music. And isn't that kind of interesting, because it seems like whoever made the decision, they thought, well, we're going to prioritize the words over the music. And so we want to make sure everything that is, you know, in the lyrics is said clearly, but we'll just take liberties with cutting off your, you know, non-singing talent whenever we fucking want. That seems odd.
I'm trying to prove you wrong. I'm trying to think of a song that fades out with vocals. I know there are some. I can't think of one.
I feel like there's one or two out there. Like, that was the thought I had first. I think there's a song. I know, like, I'm not going to think of it now, but I, for some reason, have this a memory of
Kokomo. Kokomo fades out, but I guess it fades out with just the music. Okay, I've done no research. We'll revisit this topic another week, and we'll do some research All so right. we can talk about it intelligently.
Yeah. So.
But,
All right. Well. Okay. Now we're just gonna transition, because I think you and I have a couple things we could just maybe toss in here. This is a yet another unplanned segment. We're going to call this segment Memory Lane. Hey, yo, it's time to get nostalgic as we stroll down Memory Lane. All right, so Aerosmith would have been when you were kind of getting into rock in your era, in your teen years. They were kind of thriving, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they were among the better known or the most widely popular of that genre. So whether, you know, this isn't a test necessarily if you can recall anything, but it's more like just what else do you think of with Aerosmith's in their entire, in the landscape of Aerosmith? Let's go with that. The landscape of all Aerosmith. What are some things that immediately come to mind?
It's funny you mentioned that, because I thought about that today. Aerosmith had like a couple of big albums early, and then they were kind of into a lull about the same time that hair bands were made. Like they were left out of that, and they were not a hair band. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Yes,
they were not a hair band. Right. Please continue.
I won't go into details. I had a job where we could buy cassette tapes very cheaply, and I had heard of Aerosmith, but I didn't know much about them. And so I bought the first Aerosmith cassette I bought with cassette tape was Rock Between. Was a Rock and a Hard Place, Between Rock and a Hard Place. That song has no hits.
Really?
So I bought this Aerosmith album, and I was like, I don't know this music. And I was like, and then, you know, so all of a sudden I'm getting Motley Crue albums and Judas Priest, Iron Maiden. I mean, that whole thing, then come Scorpions, and I did all that, and I just wasn't into Aerosmith. And then the probably Permanent Vacation, right? Probably Permanent Vacation came out late 80s.
I think 89.
That's when they kind of re-exploded.
Yeah, see,
there's like a lady, Ragdoll, all of a sudden there, and then from that, and then punk comes out after that, and then they're just on the radio. On MTV, nonstop, and then I went back and kind of, you know, I heard of Sweet Emotion, Walk This Way, but so I kind of got back into the old Aerosmith. But there was like the 70s Aerosmith, and then the 80s Aerosmith was nothing until late 80s, and then they kind of it's weird. It's like they're like bookends from hair metal, right? They were around, and then hair metal came in. And Aerosmith sort of just, I don't know what they did. They just weren't part of the scene. And then they came back when hair metal kind of was starting to fade out. And, so it very strange. But, they just got better and better and better. And by the time, you know, Pump and those kind of albums, they were so slick. A lot of high production on their albums. It's, you know, all that stuff. That, I mean, the songwriting was just top notch, and they were crushing for them. I mean, they were on top of the world for years.
Yeah,
they were the band for years.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do remember Permanent Vacation being like a sort of transitional album for them. Like I want to say that I kind of recall you telling me that long before this podcast or the concept of podcast existed. Anyway, the year of Permanent Vacation, that was 87, and then Pump followed 2 years later in 89.
Yeah, so 87, you've got things like Warrant and Winger. The hair metal's already started to kind of oversaturate. Mm. And it was hair metal's phase. It's just such a weird phase in history.
So
the 80s, in general, is weird.
I want to ask you this, I guess. The Steven Tyler of Dream On, I understand, was, whatever, over a decade younger than the one I was probably introduced to in Permanent Vacation or Pump. But, like, it genuinely crossed my mind that it was a different human being. Like, the voice of Steven Tyler on Dream On, for some reason, never seemed to match the one I was hearing on those 80s and early 90s albums. I know it is the same person, but like that always like astounded me that was Steven Tyler singing that. Like, he doesn't sound like that at all anymore. Whereas so many singers, they don't change that much over the years. At least I don't know. I can't think of anyone who's like, I don't know.
I mean,
do you remember?
Everybody loses their higher register as they age. I mean, that's up there.
Yeah.
Those are some notes that not very many people can hit.
Sure.
Period. And you know, so I think that's what you're talking about. Yeah, I think he dropped down his, we call it soprano or whatever. He dropped it down a little bit on those songs in the 80s and 90s, but we gotta talk about Steven Tyler for a second. The guy's crazy looking. He's a pretty whacked out dude. But I mean, the list of the guys that are better frontmen than him is very short. The only person I can think of that you could say might be a better frontman than Steven Tyler, and I want to know your opinion, I would say David Lee Roth is probably the ultimate frontman for Van Halen. I think that was just, his charisma was just so off the charts that I think he probably is number one. But I mean, Steven Tyler was, what a front man. I mean, my God, all the scarves and all the sort of sunken in face with all the hair and the crazy voice, the big lips, the crazy, I mean, my God.
The sunken in face.
Dancing and singing. He was a monster. I mean, sure. Can you think of anybody, a better frontman than Steven Tyler, for real? Besides maybe DLR, maybe?
I mean, the fact that you still call him DLR is hilarious to me, but Mick Jagger maybe kind of would be in there?
You're right. Yeah, Mick Jagger's actually a very good comparison. Very similar.
And, of course, Sebastian Bach from Skid Row.
No. He is not the same level. Sebastian Bach can sing his ass off, but not the same level of charisma. And I would even say Mick Jagger, I know this is heresy or whatever, but he's not the greatest singer in the world. I mean, Steven Tyler can sing the shit out of stuff, so... I would say he's actually better than Mitch Hedrick.
You know, he doesn't just sing. In that department. Steven Tyler doesn't just sing, Rob. As we all saw, I was going to go with, he's also part of one of the most famous crossovers of rock and rap to ever hit the radio airwaves.
Oh, the Run DMC collaboration.
Yeah. Amazing, right?
That was an abomination, by the way.
What are you talking about?
It was terrible.
They were trying to bridge gaps and bring people together.
The bank accounts. That was a cash grab. It was garbage. But hey,
it was a wonderful attempt at promoting harmony among people in a very hostile era.
Sure, that was the motivation. Yeah, it was. Right.
Okay, really quickly, last song in this segment, I'm going to ask, this is a lightning round. This is a new feature of this podcast. We're going to go...
Is Memory Lane open? Is that the end of Memory Lane?
Memory Lane is currently closed. Read the sign. It says Memory Lane closed after dark. Like a lot.
All right, moving on.
Okay, so here's the rapid fire... Or whatever I just said. Lightning round for Rob. Like, literally just... Oh, no, what this is... I forgot, damn it. It's been like weeks. This is the jerk reaction, but like at a faster rate. Jerk reaction needs to... I need to remember that next time. So jerk reaction, but it's a series of jerk reactions. Question one. This is more like a quiz, not a poll. So quiz... Name all members, former and current, of Aerosmith, without looking. As many as you can.
Oh, I can name it. I just know Steven Tyler and Joe Perry.
You're looking at
Brad
something.
Brad Wilford, that's name.
You're looking at something. No, don't cheat. Just tell me. It's fun.
I'm not cheating.
Okay.
Brad Wilford's the bassist, right?
I don't know.
I don't know the drummer's name. I don't know the rhythm guitarist's name.
It's so much easier to be the interviewer because I can just ask questions. I don't have to look up shit. Now, this is an opinion question. Don't look at anything except inside your heart. Favorite Aerosmith song? Go. This is not a lightning round. This is...
Okay.
Really much more.
Like, I had to pick one.
Yeah.
God damn it.
We.
There's a lot of good songs. It's one of the old ones. I would say something like either. Okay, I'll say Last Child.
Last Child? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it's my best answer, but I love that song. I love Train Kept It Rolling. I love Sweet Emotion. I love Toys in the Attic. Love all that shit. It's hard to pick one.
I know. That's part of the...
Last Child is a song that you know as Home Sweet Home.
Okay.
Not Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue, but the chorus of Last Child's Home is... We talk about going home sweet home. And then, anyway, okay. It's a good song.
Well, let's let the listeners take a moment to catch their breath on how quickly you answered... The first lightning.
And then
the new.
Well, I didn't answer it quickly. I stalled. The new song. I mean, the newer. Well, it's not new now, but the second generation Aerosmith, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
I would say Love in the Elevator was incredible. So was Living on the Edge. Living on the Edge was a great song. I mean, that was a fucking arena rock masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, you know, they have big songs, man.
Yeah, so Aerosmith, are we declaring the Permanent Vacation Pump duo maybe to be the dawn of Aerosmith 2.0?
I mean, I'm putting that out there. I may be an idiot, but that's what I feel like. That's same. It's the same band. They just sort of, I don't know.
Okay.
All of a sudden, they start writing these extremely hooky songs and really catchy, great songs. And I don't know, they changed producers or something. I bet they did. It had to be something like that, where they changed producers or labels or something, because all of a sudden they just were. It was just these huge sounding songs.
Yeah. Okay. If you could, just as quickly, maybe even faster than that last answer, tell us what's your favorite Aerosmith video. First one comes to mind.
They weren't really big on videos.
They made a lot of videos. They made. There was a famous actress in like multiple ones, I think.
Well, you tell me yours then, because that doesn't come to mind on that.
It would be, well, it was the oh my God, Alicia Silverstone was the actress, and now it escapes me. Janie's Got a Gun, maybe? No, that doesn't sound right. At their peak, at your highest level of interest in Aerosmith, because of the, you know, they didn't really tour near us. If they did, it was Chicago or Indianapolis, maybe.
Yeah, I never saw them.
What's the highest money you would have ever paid to see Aerosmith live? Like, just imagine, like, a reason, like, something, imagine a dollar amount you could have actually had in your budget. What would you have paid to see Aerosmith at, when you were, like, their biggest fan? Or at, you know, the height of fandom for you?
That's a weird question, isn't it? I mean, I don't remember this. Listen, I would have, let's just answer it like relatively, because of inflation and stuff. I would spend a fair amount of money to go see that. In their peak, I would, you know, I'd spend like half a paycheck.
Very specific number.
$400.
Okay.
Back then, I don't know.
Okay. This has been an incredibly successful.
I bet they would have been great live. They would have been a lot of fun to watch, I bet.
Well, with a front man with such a sunken face like Steven Tyler, how could they not just draw people?
I don't know why you gotta pick out the dumb shit I say and just brutalize me, but you know what I mean, though.
I do, of course. It's because he smoked methamphetamine, or he smoked, right? He had drugs issues. Okay. All right, so we're going to return to the actual scope of this particular song. And I'd like to read over the blurb and share a little anecdote, as I think you hinted at, before we get to what is by far the best feature of this podcast, the song analysis. Here's the blurb, though, from the 2021 list. Hey, yo, this anecdote will be the antidote that you didn't know you needed. Funnily enough, Steven Tyler was just a teenager when he wrote the lyrics. Quote, every time when I look in the mirror, all these lines on my face getting clearer, the past is gone, unquote. Though he'd started to write the music to what would become Aerosmith's breakthrough hit in his adolescence, he never expected much from it. Quote, it was just this little thing I was playing, and I never dreamed it would end up as a real song or anything, he said later. But the inspirational, colossal power ballad, the first recording in which Tyler unleashed his piercing falsetto, was first a local hit in Boston and then nationally in 1976. I mean, you hinted at Tyler being, well, he's got to be inching toward 80. Right around now. I mean, if Dream On was 51 years ago, he can't be too far.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had to be at least 20 to win.
Right. So, I mean, the idea of a kid, like, I mean, it's kind of a nice story that he had this idea for a song like this when he was still young. And it is, you know, I mean, literally Dream On. The message is going to, I think, be abundantly clear. We may not have a lot of flexibility with interpretation, but that's a nice story. And it's it is kind of just interesting to visualize, you know, the completely normal-faced Steven Tyler at age 13, you know, scripting this song that is about, you know, not ever giving up. Oh, shit. Listen to this one, though. So there is an authorized biography in 1997 that is entitled Walk This Way. A biography of the band, and in an interview with Tyler about this song, here's another quick little quote that kind of leads to something I think we should explore at least a little bit. Here it goes. The music for Dream On was originally written on a Steinway upright piano in the living room of Tro Rico Lodge in Sunapee, maybe 4 years before Aerosmith even started. This is all Tyler's words, by the way, if I wasn't clear. I was 17 or 18. It was just this little thing I was playing, and I never dreamed it would end up as a real song or anything. It's just a tribute to the Guatemalan family Mejia, as you see in the lyrics, quote, sing with me, sing for Mejia. That's the end of the quote. Did you know he was saying, sing with me, sing for Mejia? Do you think he's saying?
He's not.
What did you think he was saying?
I thought he was just sing with me, sing for the year.
Sing for the year?
Yeah.
Why don't we listen to it right now? But those lyrics are all posted by people. I don't think I'm trying to figure out what's right, because I've always thought I've heard a word that I don't know. Sing for Mejia, sing for my year. I get that they sound very similar. Sing for the year. I don't know.
I mean, sing for the year doesn't make much sense. So that might make more sense. I've never heard that.
Yeah,
I've never knew exactly what it was saying.
Right.
That's so weird.
That's another thing is, you know, once again, it's just a bunch of us standing around or screaming our asses off lyrics that we think we hear, lyrics we think are accurate and maybe prove not to be. Well, I don't know. Now again, the source isn't necessarily the most authoritative, even though the quote allegedly is from the, you know, the authorized biography. This is a Wikipedia entry that could have easily been edited. I like it.
Sure.
I like the idea that it is a nod to this Mejia family that he either knew or something.
Makes more sense anyway. What the hell does sin for the year mean?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
But at the same time, like, did you even know Steven Tyler had spent time in Guatemala? Does Steven Tyler... Do you think Guatemalan when you hear that name?
No.
I don't know. Yeah. All right. You're yawning, so the listeners are too. We're going to switch gears.
Sorry.
And let's just let the folks know about how we can, you know, how we can satisfy their hunger. This is sandwich time.
Hey, yo, what time is it?
It's sandwich time.
Song 199, A Sandwich, of course, by 200 and 198. Song 200? Changes by David Bowie.
I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Yeah, any David Bowie information to dispel?
Oh, I'm sure we'll do a Bowie song before long. That'd be a great episode. Changes is one of his best songs.
That doesn't sound like David Bowie. I've always thought that was the Beatles.
It's, David Bowie has a lot of songs that you don't know are David Bowie.
Fair enough. Song 198. Oh, yeah. Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye. Let's hear this one. Of an episode, we might have to bring on some special guests for a Marvin Gaye episode. But what do you?
Especially that was his last song before he got killed.
Wow. Read the room, man. That was a downer anecdote. Is that really true? Marvin Gaye's dead. First of all,
like his wife or lover or somebody killed him. He was killed young.
Spoiler alert.
I remember that video. I can't remember the Aerosmith videos, but I definitely remember the Marvin Gaye video for Sexual Healing.
Really?
It was sort of racy. Yeah, it was sort of pushing the envelope back in the 80s. But, I mean, Marvin Gaye, one of the just melted butter voice. My God. What an incredible singer.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
It's completely related. I'm not just randomly taking over the conversation. What's the derivation of that expression, pushing the envelope? Do you know the story behind that one? It means they exceeded expectations, right? Or they found room where there wasn't room, or something along those lines.
I feel like that was started by the military. I know that they talk about pushing the envelope a lot in The Right Stuff, the movie about the test pilots. That was their phrase for sort of stretching out the limits of their these machines' capabilities. So I think that's where it started. I don't know how that started, but I'm pretty sure that's where it started.
I mean, I agree with you. By the way, the classic film, which was only available in the 80s on the lesser known at 2 VHS package. The Right Stuff, of course, is based on the book by Tom Wolfe by the same name. Tom Wolfe also wrote a number of
fantastic writer.
Amazing stories that were turned into Hollywood films. I thought that too, right? Like, that's what I remember. But then it just makes me wonder, like, why are all these envelopes in space? Like, I'm thinking of a letter envelope. But I understand that to envelop, the verb, also isn't exclusive to the U.S. Postal Service. So
you have to also remember how much more an envelope was part of people's lives back then than it is now, right? I mean, mail was the number one, maybe the number two form of communication besides telephones. You sealed and opened envelopes all day long. Right, that was a very relatable thing. Now it's like, why would I put it in an envelope?
Do you think you can still?
So I think that's part of it.
Do you think you could easily? Now again, keep in mind I'm talking easily, not internet. Do you think you could walk into a store and buy a letter opener? I mean, I know.
I don't know, like, yeah, it had to be the antique store.
I know we came with 10 letter openers ourselves, but
yeah, but these bleed.
To buy the object designed for that, like a shoehorn. Do they still make shoehorns?
No, you have to go to an antique store or a flea market to find them. Crazy.
A flea market. That's another funny one. Okay, but yes, sir.
I do know the origin of the phrase outside the box.
Hit me. Hit me with some etymology. Go. Hey, yo, it's time for etymology so we can share with thee some word history.
It's a visual. I'm not sure how to do it. Get a pen and paper, sir?
Yes, okay, I do.
Listen, get a pen and paper, pull over to the gas station. I'm going to teach you about outside the box, the origin of outside the box.
We're waiting.
Right. take your pen and your paper. I want you to make a box with 9 dots. So 3, 3, and 3. 3 rows of 3 dots to make a box. A square. Make a square with 3 dots in the bottom, 3 dots in the middle, 3 dots on top.
Understood.
Got it? Yes, correct.
I drew a three by three.
Okay. Without lifting your pencil, draw 4 lines that connect all the dots.
Without lifting the pencil, draw 4 lines connecting all 9
all dots. The dots. You might want to pause this.
No, I got it. I get it. I understand.
The only way you can do that is to go outside the box.
Right. The temptation is to
draw
just
your first line.
To draw the perimeter of the box to start.
No.
The
so you
square,
take your pencil.
They're not boxes.
You go along the bottom 3 lines, the bottom 3 dots.
Okay.
With me here.
Yeah.
Draw a line on the bottom 3 dots and then go out 1 more dot worth.
Yeah. 1.
Now go up and left diagonally. Knock out those 2.
Yeah. 2.
Then come
3,
down.
4.
Yes. You will. Yeah. Yes.
Got it. That's cool.
That's outside the box.
Okay. So it's like lateral thinking. It's like there's that just outside the box lateral thinking, like just thinking differently. Thinking without.
Like, I can't do it. It's impossible to connect these dots in 4 lines. Well, you're thinking inside the restraints.
Sure.
You have these assumed constraints.
Which you never, they were
no one
never.
Said you can't go outside the box.
Sure. You know, there's there's little, there's apps aplenty out there nowadays that essentially ask people to try, to do the same thing, and they're, games or whatever, and, that gets a whole other conversation, I guess, but I appreciate that.
Right.
I did not know that one. Good job. Thank you for sharing.
Now, okay, good. Okay, we're going to do a 5-minute break. I have to do something.
All right. Are you going to draw another 2-dimensional box? Let's go with that.
Nope. I need to make a quick phone call. So head this out. Let's just take a commercial break.
We'll be right back after these fake messages. We're back. Rob's phone call has concluded.
Hey, that was a good sandwich, though.
Yes, it was.
Now I think it's time for us to know what.
It's time to hit it and quit it with some song analysis time. We're about to analyze the fuck out of this song. All right, so I broke down the lyrics. I didn't really break them down. I don't really know. It doesn't matter. You can see what I see, right? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay, so hang on. Actually, who knows? Okay.
Wow, I can see you editing this. That's wild.
Right? The magic of technology.
That's wild.
If you'd like to just start whenever.
Oh, yes. You somehow, I'm the reader all of a sudden.
I mean, if you want
every
to
time
hand over the key. Okay, go ahead.
I look in the mirror. All these lines on my face getting clearer. The past is gone. It went by like dusk to dawn. Isn't that the way? Everybody's got their dues in life to pay. Yeah. I never noticed the. I don't know if we're reading right now. Sorry. No analysis yet. I know nobody knows where it comes and where it goes. I know it's everybody's sin. You've got to lose to know how to win. Half my life's in books, written pages, lived and learned from fools and from sages. You know it's true. All the things come back to you. Sing with me. Sing for Malia. Sing for the laughter. Sing for the Tia. Sing with me if it's just for today. Maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take you away and repeat. And then he says, dream on a million times. And then he says, sing with me a million more times. And it does say sing for the year, not sing for Mahia. But No, I can't. I have to listen to the song and decide for myself which one is actually singing. So that's it. So really just two verses, and then a chorus, and then the main dream on, dream on, dream on thing, where it goes into the falsetto.
Right. Good job. So what did you want to say after around the...
He says, went by like dusk to dawn, isn't that the way? I never thought of that as the end of a sentence. I always thought, isn't that the way that everybody's got their dues in life to pay? I always thought that that is one sentence, not a question and a sentence. So that surprised me.
Okay, well, again...
It's up for interpretation, I suppose.
No, not at all. The question mark could have been... This is from a submission on AZ Lyrics. Let's see. Today's submitter...
The Afghan monkey or whatever?
It is not. It was... Multiple people. The following. It was Louise Farrow, Jessica Darling, Rocco... That's R-O-C-C-O, B-Dog, that's the capital letter B, the capital letter D-O-G, and Moo Pran.
Oh, Mountain Goat, Afghan Mountain Goat, right?
No, sure. I mean, like, that sounds like a band name. Yeah. Moo Pran. These are all usernames of AZ Lyrics. I don't know. So the thing is that, you know, this is like a either a conspiracy that all five of them believe the question mark is there, or maybe they all just, you know, don't really pay attention to punctuation.
No, but, I believe it belongs there. I just never thought of it that way when I listened to the song.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So like. Unfortunately, but, you know, drastically different than a recent episode, Hotel California, where the narrative was, I mean, I think it's safe to say, pretty fucked up and wild and, you know, non-linear and everything that you could possibly think of. I mean, there's not a lot of flexibility here that I can see, at least not immediately. I mean, he's clearly a narcissist as if he's just constantly looking in the mirror, but aside from that, the past is gone. It went by like dusk to dawn. I don't know. Okay, fine. Everyone's got their dues in life to pay. What do you think about paying your dues, that expression that he's going after there? You got to pay your dues. You gotta pay your dues.
I mean, the songs, all the lyrics are sort of talking about aging.
Yeah.
And sort of, if I had to guess, just sort of slipping into complacency and sort of just falling into some, I hate to say trap, but some kind of existence that just sort of where you end up and you don't stay passionate about your goals or whatever and what you want to do. And I think that's what the song's about, kind of. It's a lot of regret, maybe, and you're not focusing on your dreams and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. But, I mean, it's a relatively good message. It's a little vague, but I think that's what it's basically saying. It's like, don't ever give up on your dreams.
Sure.
You're gonna age, you're gonna pay your dues, you're gonna... Maybe you're going to lose, you know, have failures, but don't give up, I think, is the idea.
I mean, you only live once, as we've heard. I don't know. I can't disagree with a large percentage of that. I want to ask you about the last line of the next little segment. I always say I want to ask you. I'm just looking for... I guess a little bit of mild amount of interpretation. And we could probably extend it to some specific elements of life. But it says, I know what everybody's saying. You got to lose to know how to win. So it's the entire dichotomy is right, but this, you know, how basically another form of that is happiness doesn't exist unless there's sadness. Sin can't exist unless there's, you know, good deeds or whatever. Like, they are opposites, and they cannot exist without their opposite. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So, we talked a little bit about how this idea of winning and losing applies to youth sports several episodes ago. But I do want to, I guess I just want to maybe return to this notion of you got to lose to know how to win. To me, I don't know. Like, it's so bizarre. This is not going to come out the way I'm thinking, but it's more like you got to understand loss, not necessarily experience it. But I know the value of experiencing loss. I've been saying, like, you can win without losing, like, literally. Right? You can win without
ever losing. Sure, happens all the time, but you don't appreciate, I think, you don't appreciate victory.
Okay.
Until you have failure or loss.
Sure. And then I think there's just a number of, you know, stories that are the opposite, where you can't really know how valuable those losses were until you see this victory, right? Like it feels like a meaningless or a never-ending whatever repetition of losses, and then when you do get that one win, you realize that it was all kind of worth it, yada yada. Half my life is in books written pages. He continues, half my life is in books written pages. I've lived and learned from fools and sages. You know it's true, all things come back to you. So what do you make of that, really? Half my life's in books written pages. I mean, compliments to Steven Tyler for using apostrophes for both singular and plural words in the same line. But
yeah, I don't really know what to make of that line. Half my life's in books written pages. So
is he saying that he hasn't necessarily lived a unique life, that everything he's done has been done by others and it's in recorded history, like literal books? Again, it's more like symbolically everything he's done, not obviously.
Well, he's lived and learned from fools and from sages. So sages are sort of wise people, right? So
I have no idea.
I guess, maybe half my, so, you know, half my life, was it like Huckleberry Finn or whatever? Like half my life was sort of like just the stereotypical growing up. Like the first half was sort of normal. It's been documented.
Mm.
There's nothing unique about this part of my life. I just sort of, I went through the stages everybody goes through, and then you get to a certain level where you start to blossom into something more unique. I don't know. Maybe something like that.
Tonight.
Or Kevin bullshit.
Damn it. No, that's fine. I just wanted to do another tonight on a very special blossom. I'm going to say that every time you say the word blossom for the remainder of this podcast.
I'll stop saying blossom.
No,
right,
it's
now.
Funny. It's very funny. You know it's true. All the things come back to you. I'm starting. Am I getting more confused? Because
I mean, besides a boomerang, I'm not sure what he's talking about.
And the what is it? The wasn't there like an but expression there, about a
unstamped letters? Those come back to you.
They didn't push the envelope well enough to stamp it or something. That was a dumb joke. All things okay. So, unless it's like not. I don't know, all things come back to you, all things come back, I don't know, I feel like there's, that, I feel like that sentence is something that people just sort of like nod and agree to without thinking about what the hell he's saying. All the things come back to you. I guess. I really don't have a guess, actually.
Yeah, it's a weird verse. The whole verse is, it's very abstract. I don't. You have to be in his head. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
The rest of the song is pretty literal. It's very not literal. Well, so I don't know.
Yeah, the last line of this chorus, though. I mean, I'm on board. Sing with me, literally and figuratively. Sing for the Mejia family. Sing for the year. Sing for the laughter. Like the notion of, you know, the symbolic act of singing, not actually singing, but just, you know, finding the pleasure, the joy in life.
Worshiping or enjoying the day. Yeah.
I don't know this. Maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take you away. And it's probably because I'm a parent of younger children, and I know that, you know, what maybe means, like, yeah, maybe that'll happen when I absolutely know it won't, or it will. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. It seems weirdly, like, anticipatory. Maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take you away.
I don't read that. I just say you never know what you're gonna, how much time you have is all it means.
Right.
It's all it means.
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still flying. You know that poem?
No, I'm an idiot.
You're not an idiot. It's just, and now I've forgotten his name.
No, I'm not well educated in that stuff.
Robert Herrick, maybe? Anyway, it's basically a Carpe Diem sentiment as well, right?
Yeah, okay. Got it.
All right, so yeah, it's inspirational. Dream on, dream on, dream on, blah, blah, blah. Dream on your dream until your dreams come true.
That's an inspiring message. What are we doing?
What are your dreams?
What's that?
What are your dreams? You have an unachieved dream, Rum? I think nowadays there's a point where we just decided to call it bucket list things. Go ahead.
I'm trying to convince my wife to let me buy a drum set. I want to learn how to play drums.
Well,
I need a place in my life. We live in the country. There's nobody here. When she's at work, I have the house to myself.
I
play drums in the car all day long.
Sure. Okay.
I want a drum set.
And I'm not... I'm clearly not an authority in this realm, but I just want to ask, like, because it's easier for me to ask and not have to deal with it myself, what will happen when you just do it? If a set is there, or if a kit...
It's going to happen.
If a kit is there...
I have to finish the bedroom for... I have an extra room upstairs. I need to finish painting it and cleaning it up. And once I do, it's happening.
Oh, this is like your man cave room?
I just haven't got around to it.
Okay.
I hate the word man cave. That's so douchey, but yeah, that's the idea.
What would you like to call it? That's a great idea. Let's come up with a different term for what people have deemed to be this, exclusive.
What's wrong with my room? This is my room. Why is it going to be a man cave?
I mean,
primitive.
We're not okay. Fair. I get it. I'm with you. I don't necessarily love the term either, but I think we have to. Like, if you're is it easier to say yes? It's upstairs in a room that is established primarily for my presence and my presence only, or like, what do you want to call it? It's not. I mean, I know you're not gonna kick her out literally, but like, I love the idea of coming up with a different way to describe, you know, this concept, whether it's an entire...
My room.
Just your room. My room.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. What do you think? Are you equally upset about the she shed?
I hate she shed. That's so stupid.
That's what she shed. That's
First of all, the whole house is a she shed. I mean, what are we talking about? The whole house is theirs. That's why we have man caves. But one of the tiny corner of the house to be ours. Anyway. Moving on.
Okay. All right, so yeah. I know. I was being a silly about, like, the anticipatory, like, fingers crossed, maybe the Lord will take you. I get it that it's, like, you know, why sit around waiting for something to happen when you have the power to go do it, right? Go after it, at least. Go after achieving those dreams. So, any more dreams? Unmet goals for yourself you'd like to basically publicly share for us? Because this is one of mine.
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty blessed. I'm good. I there's other things I want to see and do.
Really?
And I imagine some of the stuff will happen and some of it won't. But for the most part, I feel very lucky.
Okay. Okay, but hang on.
For example, I would love to go to New Zealand.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
I don't know. I mean, it's cost prohibitive. It's so far away. And frankly, I'm too out of shape to really be able to do anything cool there anyway. I mean, they have all these, you have to go on trails and stuff to see all these amazing waterfalls and stuff. It's not like you just go to New Zealand and just, not like it's an amusement park. You have to kind of seek out these places, right? So, I don't know. It just depends on if I get myself in better shape and find a way to have enough time to do it.
Okay.
I'd like to see Alaska. Same problem. It's really? Physically very, it's very demanding physically.
Is there something specific about Alaska that is appealing to you?
I don't just know. The fact that it's fucking gorgeous.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, there's just snow-capped mountains, endless rows of snow-capped mountains.
Okay. We'll be right back after this break.
Oh.
We're back.
Hey, good break. We're going pretty long here, buddy. What's left to talk about?
I don't know. I guess you're clearly not going to ask me what my dreams are, so let's just end it. You're right. Nobody gives a shit. Clearly, nobody matters. It doesn't matter.
Have a lovely evening,
listeners. It's been real.
You're not getting off the easy.
The next episode will be never.
You're not getting off the easy. Come on, let's hear it.
Rob and, you know,
what are some of your dreams? You are not. I spilled. Come on, spill.
All right. Like, yours are all travel. Well, no, I'm sorry. Yours, the immediate one, is evidently already, like, in the process of happening. So that's great. Good for you. I, too, would like to own and learn how to play drums well. I think,
it seems like it'd be such a great release.
Yeah. I think there's, well, here's the thing. I could live with an electronic drum set as with the headphones. I know they're much more pricey. I get it. But a used one, right? If there's probably a used one out there that I could.
Yeah, you can buy drums on eBay.
As far as let's go with my travel. I don't know. I mean, I have not been outside of North America, so it'd be kind of cool to go elsewhere. Anyway, I guess if I had to nail it down, I've already mentioned that Ireland, Italy, any country, Istanbul, which is a city. I want all the eyes on me. I would say publishing a novel that's worth reading would be nice.
It's a very good goal.
I would say earning the love of my children would be wonderful. That's a big one. We'll see.
I believe you already have that, sir.
Earning the respect of my peers. Who knows? I guess anything's possible if you really put your mind to it. I think a.
That's a weird.
I would like to hold up with pride a potty, which is like a Grammy, but it's for the podcasters of the world. I just want to hold a potty. I made up that word. I don't know what they're called. It doesn't matter. It's funny, though. I know they make awards now for podcasting, which I find hysterical because, you know, unlike, like, it's like, I don't know, awards for any just... Any of the run of the mill just shit like tonight's awards will be celebrating the world's greatest stoppers at red lights. Let's see the video. We've got a top five of the best drivers in the country. They all stop exactly when the light turns. Like this is not like a hard thing to do. Literally free. I'm sorry, it's not literally free. It's nearly free to make and post, and yet somehow there's, I don't know, talent, or there's people who want to give awards. Like, I don't know. I guess only people who will never get awards say they hate awards, but like, I don't know. If I was like a professional actor, professional whatever, we'll just say like performer of some sort. I know we hear once in a while they say like they don't like award shows, but I would really be bothered. Like, it would be weird to me. Can you just go on this path for a moment? You're nominated for an Oscar. You're in the top whatever, five or six, whatever the final nominees are. Like, do you see, like, I get that you worked hard, blah, 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 but, like, doesn't that just seem so awkward to you to let's just nationally or, you know, globally broadcast me and my work for this fucking one project I worked on as part of my job, as my choices of career? I don't know, man. That's just so weird to think about. Getting such all this praise for doing a thing you love. I don't know. Does this make any sense? Am I just sound like an asshole?
Every industry has some kind of accolades for high performers. I mean, we have that. I'm sure you have that.
I wouldn't know. I've never been nominated.
I don't know what grade you on, but I'm sure there's something. I do know that if you're nominated for an Oscar, you're golden because it puts you basically as an A-list forever, and you can, you know, you can now say Oscar nominated actor, this person starting to live in a trailer and all that stuff. And so, I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
To get nominated for that, even if you don't win.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't know. In my industry, you know, it was like the GM of the year and all that kind of crap. So there's accolades for performance in most careers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Employee of the month, employee of the week, employee of the year. Oh. I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. I don't know. I don't feel it.
What dreams? What are your dreams besides going to high countries?
What have I said so far? When teacher.
You
want
to go to an high country and you want your kids to love you.
Okay, so obviously I want to be podcaster of the millennia. I want to be. I want to. I would like to cure AIDS. Or at least contribute to a fund where that actually took place.
Because it's pretty much hasn't that kind of already happened?
I don't know. Has it? Is AIDS really not a thing? I don't know.
I don't think it's a problem anymore. I don't really know.
All right, well, is there any other big killers out there? Cancer. Can I cure cancer? I'd like to cure cancer. I think we're pretty much curing cancer with this podcast, actually.
I mean, you're definitely not in the right field for that.
No. I want to.
What's left on the agenda here, man? We're an hour and a half in. Aerosmith.
I want to see Aerosmith live in 1987. Can that happen?
They're still touring. Well, I wonder if they're still touring. Are they even still a band?
I don't know.
I think they're all alive. Is anybody dead?
They're all.
I don't know.
They're all septuagenarians or octogenarians. I can't imagine that they're
good
touring.
Good for them. I think they're all alive. Yeah, I really do.
Right, but like, how? How would that? I just don't.
We haven't talked about Joe Perry at all. Such a charismatic guy. Such a great guitarist. Everybody, you said it yourself. Everybody loves Joe Perry.
When did I say that?
That essence of cool, just unmatchable.
Yeah.
Essence of cool.
He's sort of in the Joe Walsh neighborhood. Joe Perry.
Him and Slash have a lot of similarities, so I'll give you that. Like physical similarities.
Mm.
But, yeah, I mean, just a great fucking band. So many great songs.
I wish...
Oh, my God. Sweet Emotion. Wow. Great song.
I wish Tyler Perry was a member of this band.
Oh, wow. Steven Tyler. Yeah, funny.
Tyler Perry's Aerosmith. What is it? What's the big... What's
Even
the big,
Tyler would have been Run DMC. That would have been perfect.
What's the franchise? Like the Mama movies or something? Mama's Kitchen? No,
Madea?
Madea. Mejia.
Same for Madea. You cracked the code.
Is written by Rob and Steve Lively. It is poorly produced and poorly edited by Steve Lively. Rob and Steve do not own the rights to any song that may or may not have appeared on this podcast, nor do we own much of anything else. Thank you.